Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is VIP interview series number 8, where we get to talk to the virtuosos within Impellum, making us tick. These are people at all levels who really are the standouts and the standards of what we want to create within the organisation. And today I have the fabulous and wonderful Kimberly Bouvier. Is that correct how I pronounced your full name?
Yep, that's the French way to say it, for sure.
So French. So what's the American way?
Bouvier.
Bouvier. Okay, sweet. Bouvier.
I like the way you say it, though, especially Bouvier. With your accent.
Okay, sweet. I can get away with it. Okay, done. I'm in. So, Kimberly, let's start off first. Why don't you tell us a little bit just about you and your, and then how you landed in sales and your journey so far. But let's take it from the very moment where you joined this world.
Yeah, so my name's Kimberly Bouvier, obviously. I'm married to my husband. It will be 4 years this September. And we have a beautiful son, Caden, who will be 2 in October. So the fall months are definitely our months, I guess you could say. I went to school at Texas Tech University. I graduated from there with a bachelor's degree in sports management. My goal was to be a sports broadcaster because I love sports. I love talking about it. I worked 3 jobs while I was in school making money. And then I got out of school and I realized that the industry of sports management and like just getting into sports broadcasting is very difficult, and you kind of have to start really low and work your way up. And when I say really low, I mean making a like low income. And I knew getting out of school, I just wanted to make money. You know, I was working 3 jobs. I was a waitress, a nanny, and then, you know, I was working at the radio station at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I just wanted to make a lot of money when I got out of school, and the best way to do that was in sales. So I was reached out about an opportunity. I interviewed, and the rest is kind of history. I've been in staffing since. So
how long have you been in staffing now for?
I'd say about like 7 years now.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Yeah. And then we got fortunate and found, and you found SRG. So tell us how have you been? I know you've been here now for how long? 6 months, 7 months?
Yeah. So in August, it'll be a year.
Wow. Okay. Brilliant. Okay. I'm close to it. And obviously the last few months, your name has been on the STEM board all the time, performing like a legend. So tell us what happened. Like, tell us the first few months, the difference to the first maybe few months to the last few months, and what's been the kind of like tipping point that's happened?
Yeah, I think, you know, walking in, it was definitely different, like working in a remote environment. I remember, you know, being on site working this job, like I'd get a job order, I'd be like, I got a job. And then I'd be able to like run up to my recruiters and sell my job. But now it's a little bit different, right? We're trying to navigate through these challenges of working in a remote environment, especially in such a demanding role like staffing is. And so that was kind of a transition for me when joining SRG. But, you know, we've implemented, you know, different processes just to make the remote aspect of the job a little bit easier. And when I say like make adjustments, you know, calling the team when we have a job order, getting excited, getting everyone on calls more and having conversations. And actually, I'll be doing my first client visit with Logan. So I'll be seeing her in person and working with her one-on-one a little bit this week. So, you know, just taking those extra mile steps to get to know the team a little bit better. So yeah,
I like what you're saying is, you know, do you prefer the remote world, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on the person, right? Like, if you have the ability to really stay focused and have the self-control to get the job done, then you can work in a remote environment, which I would consider myself that type of person. Yeah. But if you're kind of like my husband, he'd rather be in the office because he'll like get distracted and do a few other things. So I guess it just depends on the person and like how you can hold yourself accountable more.
I agree. And I do think, you know, when first remote came through because of COVID, I think I just adjusted very quickly because you just have to adapt. However, a lot of people look at me going, you love being in the office, you love being around people. I go, I do, but you have to do what's necessary to be successful. So what's your piece of advice for being a really successful remote worker?
Yeah, I mean, I would say stay organized, and like hold yourself accountable. Like my husband will come downstairs and he'll be like, "Why are you dressed up? Like, you're not going anywhere, are you?" I'm like, "No, I just need to feel good today. I need to, you know, get in the right mindset. And even if like nobody can see my outfit for that day, you know, it just puts me in a better mindset." So finding that something that just makes you go and makes you, you know, want to succeed. Even if it is just like dressing up a little bit for the day to make a million calls and nobody to see you.
I love it. Make a million calls, try to make $1 million. And if you feel like $1 million, you're going to feel better doing it. So I completely agree. I think you're right about the structure, being managing your time effectively, being truly accountable. So like what you say you're going to do, you need to do it. How do you, for those who, people like me who have ADHD, yeah? What would be your advice as a leader in the business? What have you seen works for those who may be a little bit less organized than yourself?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, maybe just find that something that makes you drive, right? Like me, sometimes it takes people like that little extra milestone to like close one deal, and then they want more and they keep going and they keep going. Yeah. But like for me, like I have a list every day of my to-do list. And if that's not crazy. Crossed off, if something's not crossed off, like I go crazy, like it needs to be crossed off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe just sticking to something, writing down what you have to do for that day and crossing it off the list and just making yourself feel accomplished and feel good about yourself. I mean,
it's nice recognition when you tick those lists off, isn't it? It's like, yeah. It feels so good.
Yeah, definitely. So that would be my advice. I don't know. You can't help people when they like don't have the motivation, you know, but at the end of the day, like if you want to make money, which is what this business is about, then you kind of just have to stay true to yourself and get your job done.
Right. And do you know what? I think you said it as well, is people do the what and the how because of the why. So they'll do their job. They know what to do and they'll do it the right way. But if you forget why you're doing it. So sometimes if someone's feeling down and they're being lazy, it's because they're not motivated. So it's then rekindling. Okay, remember why you're here. Remember why you're doing this. It's not just about, you know, I'm working hard. I'm working hard for a purpose, for a reason. So anyone who's listening now and you're having a bad moment, speak to your manager. Remind yourself why you're here. Remember that presentation you gave or that final interview you had. What were you saying? Why were you doing it? And, you know, money's really important. Career, growth, development, all these things that come hand in hand within the job. Love your answer. I love what you're saying. I also like the fact that you said a to-do list. Write down your to-do list. Feel accomplished when you're ticking them off. There's nothing better. Nothing better.
I remember my husband came up to me and he was like, I just like can't focus. Like I can't focus. I'm like, well, talk to me about that. Like why? What is it that you can't focus? He's like, I just don't feel like I have a spot. So I gave him my office. And so he's up there and he's in sales too. So I gave him my office and I'm in the kitchen. Cause like I said, I can work anywhere. I can do it as long as I'm just doing my job. But he just needed that you know, little area to keep him going. And so I was like, here you go. Just anything's going to get you on the phones doing the sales.
I love managing your husband. That's a really, damn right. You didn't get paid for it. So you've been really successful the last few months, like really successful. And I think, you know, from day one, I've said it several times to everybody. I love Kimberly because she works so hard. She's so passionate about being successful. You're such a role model. You call things out the right way. Yeah, I know. Look, one big thing was to get processes more cleaner between sales and delivery. And I am confident with you here working with the teams, we're going to do that. But if you were to go to people and say, listen, this is what I've done. I'm not being arrogant, but this is why I'm doing so well right now. So people can go, oh, I can just implement that. Because everyone's probably looking at you right now, Kimberly, going, you are amazing. It's probably because Kimberly's so special. She's got, and I'm not saying you're not. I'm sure you're very special. I know you are. But I think it's the characteristics you show. It's the attitude you bring every day. So if you were to really say why you've been so successful, and there's a few things people can take away, what would you say they would be?
I would say I'm very direct. You need that on both.
To your people, to everybody?
To everything.
I'm scared. You know,
I do scare people, I think, sometimes. But, you know, if you don't leave any question marks up in the air, there's nothing that you're going to question. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you ask somebody a direct question, they have, like, yes or no. that they don't have any of the way around that, you know? And so I think internally I try to be that way because I don't want to leave any just working in a remote environment, there's so much miscommunication to begin with. So just being as direct as possible, eliminates that miscommunication. Yeah. So both internally with my team and then, you know, even with my clients, they'll say, I'm going to have something coming up the pipeline. Okay, well, when do you anticipate that happening? You need more definite answers, and you got to be a little bit direct when it comes to that, or else, you know, you just won't get your answers or you'll miss the opportunity that comes up. So I think being direct is one of them for sure. And then another one is just that relationship aspect. Honestly, I think internally it's harder to build relationships than it is with my clients sometimes, because you're working as a team, you all have the same goal, but it's a little bit different sometimes. So you're trying to get everyone on the same page as you. And like I said earlier, you can't control how people work on their day to day. But what I can control is how I do work with my clients and how I want to run my business and my desk. And so sometimes I find, you know, when I can build that relationship with my hiring manager beforehand, that eliminates there being any hiccups down the line, you know, with any jobs or, you know, if we did have to backfill somebody, if that relationship's there, then it's okay. This is a business. This happens, especially, you know, when we're dealing with people, they're uncontrollable. And then, you know, just building relationships internally with your team. I think there's always going to be a small gap between delivery and sales. It's two different sides of the business, but being able to really bridge that gap and create a relationship with your team members, then that can help you be successful too. I think if you were to ask anyone on the team, they'd say, well, I know where Kim stands every time. So, because I'm very direct.
Do you think from a communication point of view, that's great with clients. How do you, you know, we've got a lot of people who work very hard. They work their certain way. How do you influence them to think the way you think?
You know, Tayati said something to me one time. He was like, you can control what you do and how you do your business, but you can't control how people think about you. And what I try to do is just lead by example and hope that everyone else wants to follow my lead. If they see something working, they're going to want to do that. And if they really want it, but then there are people out there that are really stubborn and they're like, well, maybe she's just doing that because she's lucky, you know, and then they may continue on with their habits and the way they do things. But going back to what Tayati said, you can't really control how people perceive things or how they do things. So I guess the best way that I try to be have people follow me is just lead by example.
And I think you do that really, really well. So I think that's a great, and Tayati bringing in the pearls of wisdom as always. So if you look at your role today, you're doing so well, and, you know, we expect you to be someone where we can bring you through to leadership very soon, where you can go and help the rest of everyone in terms of who works for you or works with you. If you were to say to them now, you're warming them up, like the hiring manager before you started, he started working with you or she started working with you. Imagine these people are going to start working with you. What would you say to them? If you want to be successful, these are the things that I do that I think you should do too.
I would say stay focused, be direct, and stay patient, because this job takes time. It takes a lot of time.
Do you take that advice for yourself as well about the be patient?
Well, I would say that's the hardest piece of the job is staying patient, 100%. You know, you can't expect to pick up the phone one day and just get a job and that's going to be the best job out there. I always say the best jobs come from pipelines and the people that you've built relationships over time with, because then, you know, they know where you stand. You know, just going back to Beatrice, the account we just broke into, the head of quality, that wasn't just a job he gave us. That was a relationship since I started that I was building. And then one day he just gave us an opportunity because that relationship was already there. So just being patient in this business and letting, if you're doing the right things, good things will happen.
I believe in that. I've got a tattoo, which is karma. Good things happen if everything interlinks. So I think that's beautiful. And, you know, when you say stay focused, it's staying focused on the job, making sure that people hit their numbers, do the right things, trying to do everything. But I really like what you're saying. It's about the future. You're working hard today for a better tomorrow. Like, you're building up those relationships. And I remember doing this average, like, what was the average? How long does it take for a client to say yes to you? And the average was 5 calls or 5 meetings, because then they know you well enough. Now, sometimes you might get lucky, call someone for the first time ever and pull a job. But usually it takes time on average to get someone to say yes to you, to trust you. And it shows that you've shown that with Viatris that we expect quite a lot from. So I love the advice, love the example you're giving. So final question, and you might have some other things. Actually, I've got 2 more. So my pre-final, what's been the biggest challenges you faced in this role?
I would say, just going back to what I said earlier, being patient. I'm not a patient person by any means. So, if I'm not getting feedback, I feel like I'm letting the team down. And yeah. So sometimes in this business, a lot of things are out of your control. Or, you know, a hiring manager may tell you, hey, this is how the process is going to go. And then they end up turning and changing how things are going. And just relaying that back to your team and disappointing them is like the hardest part, because you, at the end of the day, you want everyone to trust you and look up to you. But if things don't go as planned, then it's kind of on you. But I think that all falls back into the relationship piece. If you have a good relationship with your team and they understand your work ethic, they should know that you're doing everything you can to make sure to ensure that this job is going to close or what have you. But I would say patience is the hardest part of this job.
And I think, look, the one thing I'd share to everyone listening today is patience is so important, but you've got to have a reason why you're doing it. So focus on that goal, that motivation. You're not looking, I want to make 200K a year. Okay, but it's not going to take you 6 months. It may do. You may get lucky. Rick Garza was here for a year before he started making the ridiculous money he's making. And he's been 15 years in the industry. So, Rome wasn't built in a day. No one's career was. But that doesn't mean to say you can't be driven towards those goals and driven towards the motivation that you want to achieve. But I think the one underlining theme, though, Kimberly, is you've always worked really hard. I think that's the one thing I've always seen, the effort you put in, the perseverance, the passion is constant. And yes, I would always work with a Kimberly every day of the week with someone who's impatient, who wants more, which is exactly what I want. We just got to support you during that journey. And like you, you've got to support the team during that journey. And also love the fact that you go, I don't want to let my team down. That's really, really important. I want to make sure I take care of my people and I give them the feedback, transparency, everything. And your team will always appreciate, even when you can't get the news, at least you're updating them. I can't get the news. I'm trying my best. And I think you're the most thorough person when it comes to process and detail. I see it all the time. And I think people really see that you care so much. And that probably in return will get more from them to deliver even better candidates, if they can deliver even better than they're doing right now. So the final thing I'd like to ask you is, if there was one thing you'd love to share to the people in STEM, one golden nugget, maybe a bit of an advice, a bit of a tip, apart from being patient and working hard and staying focused, something that may be a great advice you got given in your life. Is there anything you'd love to share? And it's not going to hold it. It's like, this is what I'm going to remember Kimberly as. But is there anything you'd like to share with everyone today?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is think about what your why is, or why you're here and why you want to make money. And like, when you walk into your desk every day, remember that. We had an activity, we did it as a group, and you had to draw something that inspires you and your why and why you work. And I drew a C, which is the letter of my son's name. And inside of it, I drew like baseball bat, because like I want him to play sports and that costs money. And then like a sun, because we want to travel with him, and just like little things inside of it. And, you know, he's my why. I told you I want to get him a swing set. Like, I want to give my dad worked his butt off to give us everything as kids and travel everywhere to see different countries and how people live. And I want to give my son the same thing. And so I would say, you know, come in every day with the mindset that, you know, what's your why and why you're here and why do you want to make money? And if you can't sit at your desk and you're not happy doing it, then it's time for you to walk away.
Yeah. Please don't walk away right now, but you might have to. I agree with you. If you're not happy, you don't have clear motivations. But also remember, you've got a management team there that you can speak to if you are having a bad moment, you are having a bad day. Because, you know, we all want something in 1 year, but we have to, but we all want something in 10 years, but we have to work hard for that 1 year to even get close to it. I think, you know, when I listen to you talk, it's very inspiring. I think your head is, you've got your head fixed in the right place. When you were talking about your son, I might be reading far too much into this, but did you have a picture? Do you have his picture in front of you?
I don't have his picture. I have the C.
I thought so. I thought so, because I could hear you talking about it. So I was seeing your eyes look at it. So so maybe that's a great idea for everyone else, is maybe to do your drawing and put it in front of you. So it reminds you every single day when you sit at your desk, there's a reason you're doing this. I've got pictures of my son, my dogs right in front of me, because they are, and my wife, but she's not in this picture right now, which doesn't sound good. But then there is that picture behind me with my whole family sitting there.
I love that.
But I think it's beautiful that you know you're reminding yourself every day why you do this. And the best thing about staffing is it's a great tool to get you whatever you want. It's a great engine to get you to where you want to go, because there's not many jobs that you can get a good base but then earn a ridiculous amount of compensation by just working a little bit harder, by just putting that time in. And you know, I always talk about my journey. The first 4 years were really tough, and I was making like 50 to 100K. In my fifth year, when I was global top biller, I made $500,000 and I was 23. It was weird. But when I look back at it, I worked so hard building that pipeline to get to that pivotal tipping point moment where I truly changed my life. And it was only one big account that I got. So Kimberly, I want to thank you so much for how hard you're working, how much you're putting in. I can see the success is coming through, and you are truly a role model. I think everyone should do, like, just even if they did half of what you're doing right now, they're going to be very successful. I'm excited to see you in Atlanta where we talk strategy with SRG. But if there's anything you need from Kimberly or myself, please reach out to her. Please reach out to me. I'm sure she'll always be there to help, like I'm sure others were for her. But it's always a pleasure speaking to someone like you, Kimberly, who, you know, this is a Monday for me and you're getting me pumped and ready for the week. But thank you so much for your time. And guys, remember, this is our opportunity where you get to hear from the best people in our business, the people who really are talking the talk and walking the walk. And as you can see with Kimberly, she talks a great game and is walking it so much. And I'm so excited about the next few years for you. Thank you again, Kimberly. Everyone, have an amazing rest of your week.
Thank you.